Now, many things that we have received have been predicated upon our feelings and emotions and things of that nature, saints. Now, I want to read something from 1 Samuel chapter 4. Now, we say that the capital G means Almighty Yahweh, which it doesn't. If you even search out the origin of even the definition of that, you know, when Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved of, as a workman need not be ashamed, what could he study in but the old method, in the scriptures? He didn't have no New Testament. And so even as that scripture speaks to us today, you don't deny that, oh, you've got to use them both in conjunction. So what do you think he was telling Timothy to study? There were no letters written at that time. He wrote that letter to Timothy, told him how to study, show himself. He knew that there was text there for Timothy to study. I believe in that time Timothy was left at Ephesus as Paul had departed because he knew that his time was finished. And he knew that he was ready to die. He knew they were going to murder him. Martyrdom was in his heart. He had killed many for the sake of Yahshua, and he had to die that way. Believe me, whatsoever man sowed, that shall he reap. Paul sowed that, and he reaped that as well. He sowed that, he reaped that. He killed many, had them bound into prison. And he reaped that too. I don't believe you all were in this hour, saints. Let me say this. If I was a man looking for members, first of all, I wouldn't go this way. I'll go a way that is totally different. And if I was looking to have a house full of folks, I certainly wouldn't go the way that I'm going. And that's a fact. I believe that I can speak in a way that is elegant enough, and I can present myself in a fashion that I could become acceptable toward a mass of people. And they would be intrigued. But there is not where my heart lies. It lies in the truth of Yahweh. To understand His purpose, because I know that there is only one life in this realm. Was set as defenders of His truth. We know the truth of whom He is and the glory of His purpose. And His name shall be exalted above the heavens. 1 Samuel 4 and 6. You must understand the condition of Israel at this time. They had priests, and they were still priests, and they were corrupt. Eli was the chief priest. He watched his son's sin openly, seducing, taking advantage of the daughters of Israel. And yet Yahweh, why do you allow that? Because of the corruption of the people. They were as corrupt as Eli. Phinehas and Hophni. They were as corrupt as them. And so Yahweh brought them to a place whereby heathens would overtake them. He brought them to a place whereby the Philistines would embarrass them and take the Ark of the Covenant. Now that's that Philistine spirit today. It rises up above you. It's a strong thing. It's adamant. And it goes to take the covenant of the love of His truth from a man's heart. And so He put him in that place. The scripture says in 1 Samuel 4, 6. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? They knew exactly whom they were. What means this in the camp of the Hebrews now? Have they understood that the Ark of Yahweh was come into the camp? When the Ark came into the camp, they began to glorify Yahweh, began to shout. They were Hebrews now. That's what the scripture says. Now the Philistines were afraid, so they said, God is in the camp. And they said unto us, for there have not been such a thing before. And they began to cry. Look, these are Philistines, vile things now. Unclean men, listen. They say this in verse 8 of chapter 4. Woe unto us! Who shall deliver us out of the hands of these mighty gods? It did not say the mighty God. But it said, who shall deliver us out of the hand of the mighty gods, and that's capital in your book. So don't tell me that means Yahweh. They didn't even know Him. They said, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? G-O-D-S. These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. And all of they knew of that are the stories that have been passed down from generations, talking about the gods that smote the Egyptians. And these were foul, evil men, that they were corruptors. And they didn't know Yahweh. They didn't know this Elohim that delivered the house of Israel from Egypt. They didn't know him. They didn't. They didn't. This is what man has done, saints. He has tried to take away Yahweh's name. And yet he is making it known to the house today. And they're going to bless him. They are, saints. And they're not going to be ashamed of that. And there's going to be no doubt in their hearts. His name has never changed. We have not known it because of what things have transpired in this nation. Let me say to you, saints, all the movements in America, I don't care whether it's Pentecostal, Holiness, all of those movements started after 1910, 1906, after what they called the Great Revival in America on Azusa Street. That's where you got all these things of the Seventh-day Adventists, all of them, calf with the Jehovah Witness, all of them started from that. Every last one of them. You've got such a horde of movements coming out of that. Men began to dissent on doctrines, and soon they began to dissent, well, that ain't right, this right, and they began, isn't that something? Because the Church of God in Tennessee is the brother, one brother, different with the brother on a doctrinal point. So one brother started the Church of God, and the other one started the Church of God in prophecy. Two brothers, natural kinsmen prophets. I didn't know the history of that until Pastor Bridget told me. He said, that's what it was, Pastor. One brother believed this, another believed that, and so they separated. So one started the Church of God, the headquarters in Tennessee, and the other one started the Church of God of prophecy. So all of those movements, if you want to call them great movements, they came out of that 1906, the event of Azusa Street. Men came from all over the world, their saints. And really, if they had truly been real after that dispersing, they would have dealt with the sins and the hearts of the people. You began to see mighty manifestations of healings and all of that blessings, and they began to move toward the sensual type preaching. And you find that in all of these whorehouses today. I want to read in the book of Acts, chapter 17. Now, if that's the case, that you can be superstitious and know Almighty Yahweh. Listen to this. Acts 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too now superstitious. You don't know what you're saying, men. You are very superstitious. He said, for as I pass by and beheld devotion, I found an altar with the inscription, and they capitalized every single word, to the unknown God. And I was reading a little on that tonight, how that even came to be with these Athens on Mars Hill. They were so steeped in superstition and mythology, they didn't even know what God to pray to. So in order to not to miss the God, they just inscribed to the unknown God. And there were philosophers and all that passed by this same way, historians, that actually saw this very same sign that Paul saw. He says, and they had an inscription there, to the unknown God. Capital J. Capital J. He has made himself known unto his house, all right? He said, whom therefore ye ignorantly... Now, that's what he said. He said, you're ignorant. You ignorantly worship, he said, but him, the true Elohim, what Paul said, I declare unto you. He says, Yahweh that made the world and all things therein, see that he is the Elohim of heaven and of earth, dwelling not in temples made with hands. I'm not going to read all of that. He said, I will declare him unto you. You're talking about Yahweh. He made the earth and the heavens. He made everything therein. He said, you ignorantly worship this superstitious type thing. You cry unto this unknown God. You don't even know him. You don't even know how to cry unto him. He said, but I declare the real one to you, all right? I tell you who he is. I declare his works. First of all, he made the heavens. Did he make the earth and everything therein? Can I tell you something? Yes, he made you and he made me. Everything he made. And I'll tell you something. Yes, he made that God that you cried out to. He made the devil and all. Sure he did. He has no beginning and no end. He is the fullness. He is the fullness. He is. He is the fullness of the expansion. Everything you see is the fullness of it. As far as you can see, is the fullness of that. You go to Russia, as far as you can see, he's still the fullness of that. I don't care where you go, he's the fullness of it all. For he made it all. And Paul said, I declare unto you, you call on an unknown God. He said, I call upon the word of heaven that made the heavens and made the, give you the power to make the temple that you don't even know. You're always going to bring his people to a truth that we're not going to be bound by flesh and sin. We're not going to allow the power of iniquity to dwell in our heart because iniquity shall abound. The love of men is going to wax cold. And that is the place that he's trying to bring us from. And so what he's doing, even in this avenue he's taking us upon, to show us those things that are literally entrenched in our hearts. And the sin that has overtaken us almost becomes a mind that is seared. And the conscience is seared, whereby the truth cannot penetrate that. And that's not what the Father wants. He's called us all to be sons. He's marked us with his name, saints. He saved us from sin. And he truly wants us to be saved. He means what he says. He said, I've declared thy name unto all those that you've given unto me. And that's what the Son is going to do. He's going to declare the name of the Father unto all those that are given unto him. David says in Psalms 22, verse 22 and verse 23. Psalms 22. I want to open the scriptures and read that. Psalms 22. And verse 22. Psalms 22, verse 22. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Let me start at verse 19. Verse 18. Now this scripture. They parted, and they part my garment amongst them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. Yahshua now. Be not far from me, O Yahweh, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. David declared, deliver my soul from the sword, my only one from the power of the wicked, these wicked dogs. He says in this rendition, the dogs. He says, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horn of the unicorn. He says, Yahweh, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. He said, I will declare it. When a man declares something, he speaks it and makes it known. He said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. You see where he declares his name? Amongst, he said, thy name unto my brethren. He didn't say the heathens now. He said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. Ye that fear Yahweh, praise him. O ye, the seed of Jacob, honor him and fear him, all the seed of Israel. He said, I will declare your name, Yahweh. I will declare your name unto my brethren, those of the house, I will declare, and to declare it is to speak it vocally, to make it known, and to extol the power of his name. And you do that unto brethren. The wicked are not going to hear what you say. They're not going to hear what the Father says. Your kinsmen are not brethren. There are folks out there that's as ignorant as the day long, and yet they're brothers and sisters. They can't read, they can't write, but they have a sensitivity to truth, saints. This world is not going into the kingdom. There's just an elected remnant, a household of faith that Yahweh is going to save. It's not the billions upon billions. It's a small percentage of that. And he has sealed every last one of them. Until the day of redemption, he has sealed them. Because if there's no seal upon them, they're going to be lost. And so he has sealed every last one of us. And yet, in the midst of that sealing, that's where he corrects us. He reproves us. He chastens us to show us that we are bona fide sons. That we have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. That's why he does it. He will make us look like fools for his name's sake. He sure will, saints. He certainly will. We'll look like the most ignorant thing upon the earth. We'll look like the most wayward thing. He will, saints. He will. That's what he's going to do. That men will reject us. I don't want to mess with them. They don't know anything good. Not the man. But men will reject us. Not the man. The scripture says, I'm going to stop here shortly. There's much more. There's so much. But I want to read this. There's something I want to read quickly. It's going to take me a few minutes to do this. Glory to the Lamb. I want to read this from Hosea. Turn to Hosea chapter 2. And down verse 14. I want to read verse 1 and 2 of chapter 1. Verse 1 and 2 of chapter 1 and then chapter 2 verse 14. I would have begun reading. The scripture says, the word of Yahweh came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, and the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, king of Judah, and the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Now listen to this now. The beginning of the word. Now, as he began to speak unto him, at the beginning of the word of Yahweh by Hosea, Yahweh said unto Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredom and children of whoredom, for the land hath committed great whoredom. Now you understand this. Now what was the whoredom? Read that last part from what? The last of that verse. They have committed great whoredom in what? What now? First of all, departing. The land has departed. I don't know what it says in that text, but it says here, in departing from Yahweh. And we don't think that we depart from Him. Our sins separate us from Him. He has betrothed us. He has brought us to be His bride. A chaste, virtuous thing. Not some Jezebel sleeping on every bay tree. Carried about with your imaginations and your thoughts and every kind of vile thing that fill your mind. Fill your mind so that it is so corrupt that there's no psalms that you can sing to Him. There are no pleasant things that you sweet sing songs in your heart and melodies unto Him. Something is wrong, saints. And you search your heart. See how often you really sing unto Him. See how you glorify. Because there's whoredom in the heart because you have departed from Him. He's not in your thoughts. He's not in your meditation. You have departed from Him. It's one thing about those that a bride and a bridegroom. They can hardly get one another out of their minds. And as the day grow closer, they can't even sleep. They can't even eat. Their minds on that, when they are awake, when they are asleep, they are dreaming about that one. They're dreaming about her. He is dreaming about her. She's dreaming about him. And the closer the day gets, the more that their minds are just so captivated by it. See, that's a love, an imperative love. That's what it is. And because there's no pure love in our hearts to truly love, you say what you want to. Our minds are not just on Him. It's on every kind of vile, degenerate, corrupt thing there is. Now that's the whoredom of the land. When we depart away from His laws, His statute, His covenant, His tenets that He's given unto us, that's whoredom, saints. Now that is when Yahweh destroys a land, when they commit that kind of incest. That's what it is. Minds are filled with such corrupt imaginations, such evil things that you can't even think straight. You can't even repent of it because your mind is so carried out into far yonder. There's no thought of repentance. And that's the ultimate of whoredom. Departing from Him. Now He doesn't want us to depart from Him. He doesn't. He wants our minds to be steadfast. He keeps us all in perfect peace whose mind are just given over unto Him. So that's why there's very little tranquility amongst saints. Very little peace. Fighting and friction. But a man keeps his mind on Him. He'll be at peace. With his neighbor, his brothers, his sisters. Sure you will, my friend. You will be at peace with one another. And when a man doesn't keep his mind on Him, he's dabbing in some kind of sensual feel or some emotion. And there's a whoredom there. Oh, he's going to get his house right. He's going to chase at us whether we want to or not. That's a great trial. Let me tell you, saints, I want to have that righteous garment all when we go through this trial. I don't want to have on no fake outfit. No, I don't want to be like that. I remember when I worked at IBM, I used to wear boots. I've always worn cowboy boots. And there was this old guy, his name was Bill. I'll never forget him. He was a white guy. And I like Bill. And he looked at me one day. He looked at me one day and he said, "Dave Roberts," he said, "you ain't no cowboy. You're a drugstore cowboy." He said, "because you ain't even got the right kind of outfit. I simply always like wearing cowboy boots." He said, "but you ain't the real deal." He said, "you're a drugstore cowboy. You're a drugstore. You can be bought in the drugstore." I said, "is that so, Bill?" He said, "that's it." And so that's what we are, what we call the drugstore saints. We can be had for soda pop. We can be had for candy bar. That's not what the Father wants. That's what a whore does. She goes sells herself to satisfy some natural creature, comfort. And we will set out the power of this truth to satisfy some component of our flesh. And that's not what Yahweh wants. And so he said to Hosea, a prophet now. A prophet. Now, he wouldn't have told a Levite to do that. He told a prophet, you go marry a flat-out Jezebel. Sleeping with every man has no restraint at all. Why? Because that was the house of Israel. That was her identity. That is what she was. She was unfaithful, but Yahweh wasn't unfaithful. Now, I will show you the horror. Now, let's look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 14. I want to begin reading. Listen to this. He said, "well, I'm telling you what I'm going to do." Let me start at verse 13. Listen now, listen, see. Please hear the word of Yahweh. He said, "and I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burnt incense to them. She decked herself with her earrings and her jewels. And she went after her lover and forgot me, saith Yahweh." If he identified the one that she went after, Balaam, then he has to have a name too, saints. He identified the one she forsook him for. If a man's wife leave him, they say, "who did she leave you for?" "Well, his name is Jim." "Who did he leave you for?" "Her name is Sally Sue." Sure, saints. Some way that he can find out who she is, and she finds out who he is. He identified the one whom she had gone a-whoring with, Balaam. "Therefore, behold," Yahweh said, "I will allure her, I will draw her, and bring her into the wilderness." And he said, "I'm going to speak comfort unto her." He said, "and I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor, for a door of hope." A door of hope. And that's what Yahshua is, a door of hope. "And she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Yishai." But the scripture says Yishai. "You shall call me Yishai, and shall call me no more Baal." You won't call me that anymore. That simply means you will call me the Father, the Holy One. Your inspiration. He said, "you won't call me no more Baal." That's what they were calling him. He said, "you won't call me that." He said, look at this now. Look at what he says in the next verse. "For I will take away the names," not just name, but the names, "of Baal out of her mouth, and they shall no more remember by their name. And in that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down in safety." And he says this, "and I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and love, kindness, and mercy. I will even betroth thee unto me in the fullness. And thou shalt know Yahweh. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith Yahweh, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine and the oil, and they shall heal Jezreel. And I will sow unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that have not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my Elohim, you art my, you're my king, what they shall say. He said, I'm going to take Balaam out of your mouths, and you will not call upon Balaam anymore, but you will call upon me, because your whoredom has taken you away from me, and you have heard my name is strange unto you. You don't like it because you have so many other names, and so many other gods, and you call on every last one of them. And so my name is strange in your mouth, and when you hear it now, it's strange to you. He said, but I'm going to take you, I'm going to take you out now. I'm going to have to take you out in a place far from everything, into a wilderness, and I'm going to have to let you know I love you. You are mine. I've called you. I purpose you. I've ordained you. I'm going to cleanse you up. You are mine. He says, see, the world has taught you so many things that you don't realize you're mine, so I'm about to take you out in the wilderness. I'm going to take you far away from them all, from all those things. And he said, even the corn is going to hear about what I've done. And your corn shall yield corn. And your beans shall yield beans. And your melons and your waters shall flow from the cisterns of the earth. That's what the Father wants to do. He knows that we have been Jezebels and walked in a Jezanite spirit. And so he said, I'm going to take you out. Give you a new start. Nobody knows. You give you a new start. Give you a new walk and a new talk. And they'll know that you're my children. For the corn and everything shall hear of you. And say, my, who are they? Sure will. I'm going to stop there. There's much more tonight I wanted to go. But these, as I sat there this afternoon, the Father put this in my heart to go this direction. I say to you all, let us be encouraged, saints. And I say, you come in your hearts. There are some things I really want to talk about on the heart tonight. You always will. I may continue in that direction on Shabbat. We will see what the Father says. So be encouraged tonight. Press forward. He's brought you out in the wilderness to get all the whoredom out of us. Every spirit of whoredom, every kind of unclean thing. That's what he has done. Brought you into a wilderness, a place of refuge to cleanse you out. That's what the Father has done. He's going to cleanse his people, and he's going to seal them all. I bless him for that. I won't fight against him. May Yahweh bless us all tonight. Be encouraged, be strengthened tonight as we press forth against the battle of darkness. And Satan is in a rage tonight. He's trying to destroy every mind, everyone he can. It's such a sad thing that are transpired in what we call the assembly of the gathering of the saints. So many things. So many things. That's why he took the Ark of Covenant from the house of Israel because of those priests, Eli, Phinehas and Hophni. They did wickedly, and that man, Eli, knew that they were wrong. He knew that they were wicked. And Yahweh, that's why you read on down in that assembly. He told them Philistines, quit you like men. He wanted to talk to the saints. Yahweh told them, quit you be like men. Don't be like a coward dog. I brought you here to destroy them to pieces. And they took the Ark of the Covenant from them, too. He said, couldn't you like men? They started to me, he said, oh, hey, boys, don't act like a boy before me. I brought you here to take the covenant from them. And that's why Almighty Yahweh allowed Satan to roam as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He said, I brought you here, and you take care of them. And they did. They smote them. Can I tell you what has happened? They smote Phinehas and Hophni, too. And when the old man heard about it, he died. They're going to die, their power, their influence, and they were still the priests of Yahweh. They were still he was still the high priest, and he knew the sin. Why did he allow them to say that? Because he knew the hearts of those Israelites. They were wicked. They had gone away from him after Balaam, and after every kind of strange god. So he said, I'll give you just what you need. If that's your heart, I give you a priest like that. Come on, they wanted a king, didn't they? And he gave them a king too, didn't he? His name was Saul. We want us a king. And they made sure he was the most outstanding one. He stood head and shoulders above everyone. And when somebody saw, they said, that's the one right there. He's good looking. He's strong. Look at the complexion of him. He said, that's the one you want. I'll give you that one. And caused corruption into the house. And y'all had to bring death. He started off his reign disobeying the Father. Thought he could just go into the house of Yahweh and say, I'm here, I held this thing, I held the Ark of the Covenant. You're not going to handle those things that Yahweh doesn't intend for you to handle. You began to venture into that, you're going to destroy your soul. And what old soul did that, he messed up, and Yahweh spared him on that. Next time he didn't spare, may he bless you, be encouraged. Be strong in the faith, for we're going to press on and go into the kingdom. For our Redeemer draweth nigh, and he's coming too. He's coming soon. He ain't far away. Don't let your heart be dismayed. Trust in him, and he'll bless you. May Yahweh bless you. Let us stand to our feet. I hope you go in the strength of his anointing tonight. Father, bless your people and go with them, I pray, in the glorious name of Yahshua. Bless the hearts and the minds. Touch our precious mother, Mother Smith. Father, touch her mightily. I thank you, Father, for even the life you put in her, Father. I bless you. I thank you for all that. Touch all the saints. Revive the bodies, those brothers that have worked today. Brother Dale, touch him mightily. Touch them and restore their bodies. I pray Yahweh, Brother Nee Smith, the long drive, bless him, I pray. Restore his body as we pray. Give him revival in his body and his soul. Brother Josh, touch him mightily. And Father, touch Brother Charles in a mighty way. All the brothers may be here today and our sisters, touch them all. Give them sweet rest and peace tonight. We ask it in Yahshua's name as you touch the elderless amongst us all. Elder Martin, give him great sleep and rest tonight in Yahshua's name. Bless you all, saints. Be encouraged.